Fourscore and 7 years ago, our fathers wert in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. I'm getting this all wrong, aren't I?
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
I don't think I have that right.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Okay.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. I am indeed Ron Van Dam. Pleasure to be with you today. Hi, how are you? We do this every single weekday. I'm serious. I'm not kidding you. Every single weekday we do a new show, so I hope that you can come by frequently and say hello. All right. You can find us all over the place, newenglandbroadcasting.com. That's the best place. Or you can go to the Podbean Network, find us there, The Ron Van Dam Show. Or you can go to iTunes, or you can go to TuneIn Radio, or many other outlets. You will find this program all over the freaking place. So that's nice. That's nice. That's a nice thing. That's nice. Or even on that Amazon Alexa thing. Seriously? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to get a little political today, so whatever. I've had it. I've done. I've had it. It's over. My tolerance has bled through. It's over. It's over. It's over. If I hear the term fake news one more time, then I guess I'll hear it one more time. I don't know what the answer to that sentence is, but I call this man the fake president because he obviously is not one. He's not a president. He's anything but. He's the anti-president. I think we were waiting for the Antichrist to show up. Hello? Here's what I don't understand as a layperson. And I have been laid recently, so I guess it's different. I don't want him in there anymore. He's destructive. He's embarrassing. A poll was done 2 days ago, and this is what is festering my conversation today. The poll question was, do you think the fake President Trump should be removed from office? I think they use the word impeached, but I call it removed from office. 46% said yes. 46% said no. That's incredible. Half the country wants him removed. Now, that kind of falls into place with the popular vote, where Hillary Clinton actually won the popular vote. Everybody seems to forget this, including the fake President Trump, who claims that those extra few million votes that actually won Hillary Clinton the popular vote, those were fixed and those were not real. That's his explanation. This is why this man has to just be removed. Just, you know, when you go to the dentist and they say, you know, you got a cavity here. And if you don't remove it, it's gonna just kill your entire mouth. Your teeth are gonna fall out, and it's gonna ruin your entire mouth, and your oral health is just gonna be awful. We have to remove this cavity now. And you always say, oh, okay, and not remove the cavity. You can't remove the cavity. We have to fill the cavity now. We have to remove the bad tooth. We have to pull the tooth. We got to get the tooth out of your mouth right now before it infects your entire face. So you don't say to the dentist, nah, I don't really want to. Let's just see what happens. You don't do that. You say to the dentist, yeah, get rid of that tooth, man, now, before it infects everything. That's what we're up against. We need immediate oral surgery. And I can't understand why the poll numbers, which are quite honest, there have been quite a few polls about this. I mean, how else are you going to gauge something? Half of America doesn't want this man in there at all. At all. Remove him. And yet there's nothing we can do about it. We just stand there and we watch everything collapse. And we just watch it collapse around us. And we say, well, we'll see what happens. If there was a giant flood coming towards your town and people were drowning, would you just stand there and say, well, let's just see how high the waters go, whatever happens? The damage has been done. The cleanup must begin immediately. I don't understand the apathy here. If so many people are outraged and upset and believe that there should be some surgery taking place here, why are we doing nothing? Why are we just letting things be? The problem is that in our democracy process, in which we place a person into this Oval Office thing every 4 years, we consider another person. Perhaps it should be every 2 years. Perhaps 4 is too long. I think we've discovered that 4 years can cause some great harm and destruction. I think that's where we stand. We have no back plan. We have nothing to fall back on. When you're screwed, you're screwed. You have to find legal reasons and all kinds of stuff like that to remove somebody from an office like that, because there's immunity involved. And there are certain laws and stuff, and you can't just usher somebody out because you don't like them. But we have nothing close to that. We have no plan. Literally, if 90% of the country said, oh my God, get him out of office now. Hypothetically, if 90% of the country said this, there'd be nothing we could do about it without some type of legal action. You can't remove somebody from that Oval Office without reason. You can't say, all of us think he's crap, get him out of there. We don't have that ability. Here's my suggestion. There should be a law that we put on the books, an amendment of some sort in our elections, that say, if it ever reaches a level where 2/3 of the country wants the bum out, we should be able to have an election to see if we get the bum out. Now, of course, that would fall into the hands of the vice president, and you'd have a President Pence. I don't think that's a great deal either, but I don't think he's quite as psychotic as what we've got here. But it's no win, but it's still a win. I think there should be something in the Constitution about that, that removal can occur when you have, say, 2/3 of the country in agreement. Would it call for a special election? That'd be nice, but I know special elections on a national basis are very, very expensive, and that's hard to pull together. But a removal of an individual person who two-thirds of the country has no confidence or belief in, I think that's okay. Can we come up with something like that? Well, obviously not. Certainly not in time before this man destroys our entire democratic process and or pisses off everybody. I just wanted to make that political statement. I'm not talking Republican, I'm not talking Democrat. I'm talking about somebody in office who is doing great harm and who is probably certifiably psychotic, imbalanced, sick in the head, making decisions that he has no right to make. Hiring people in an administration that don't know what they're doing. He hires his son-in-law to basically run the world. And he's making tons of mistakes doing it. This is an entire, mostly an administration of people that don't know what the hell they're doing. That makes me a bit nervous, more than a bit. It just doesn't make sense to me that in this great country of ours, with all these people, that we just stand here and just watch things fall apart. And they are falling apart, whether you want to understand that or not. So excuse me for just spouting off today. Every once in a while, I kind of have to do this. You can spout off as well if you'd like. You can shoot me an email. Tell me if you agree, if you'd like to do so. It's ronvandamshow@gmail.com. ronvandamshow@gmail.com. I know many of you will politically disagree with me. That's okay. But can we agree on something? That this has nothing really to do with political views at all? It has to do with a man sitting in the Oval Office that doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And all his claims about knowing everything, being smarter than everybody else, being able to make deals all over the place, bringing people together, all those were false statements. I think we can agree upon that. And it's not the Democrats that are causing any kind of blocks. It's his own Republicans who in many cases are saying, I mean, I'm a Republican, but I can't do this. You're destroying this whole thing. You're showing absolutely no leadership. What you're showing is bullying and a propensity for insanity with no positive results whatsoever. Anyway, let's move on. How are you? Good. Good to hear it. Okay.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Actually, it's the president that says bad words. Oddly enough. I will say one thing for this fake president, one good thing, and that is that there's absolutely no question how he feels about anything. Between his tweets and his statements, there is no question that he's an asshole. There's just, you can't argue this point. If you ask the question of every American citizen, do you think that the fake president is an asshole? 100% would say yes, for different reasons. Some people want an asshole in the, I think it's about time we had an asshole in government. You got it. And others think that he is, personality-wise, an asshole. So he's won the asshole vote. He is just a gigantic asshole. Unfortunately, the realization of someone like that sitting in the Oval Office in that chair makes my skin crawl, and I believe removal is imperative. Okay, all right, enough. I remember when I was a kid. Oh, the innocence of being a kid. Do you remember when you were a kid? Can you remember that far back? Oh, the innocence of it. Where we walked around as children, I think probably around the age of 13, 14, when we were young teenagers, when we were old enough to get a grasp on the world, to get an understanding of what's actually going on. But yet we maintained that innocence where we had no responsibilities. We didn't have to have a job. We didn't have to make money. We didn't have to raise a family. We just like walked around and were concerned about how many zits we had on our face. Yet we're intelligent enough to read the news and be aware of things. Do you remember that time? I do. And I remember saying to myself, wow, this is an incredible country that I'm in. I could have been born in another oppressed country somewhere. I could have been starving in the desert. I could have flies around my face without any water. I could have been anywhere in a very oppressed, horrible situation. But I live in this country, and I have great faith in my government, that if all went wrong, my government could save me. Nobody in this country is really going to starve to any great extent. That was a bit naive on my part, I must admit. But if there was some type of conflict internationally, we would know what to do. We have the power. We have a think tank of the smartest people on the globe working for our government, developing top secret weapons and protecting us. We have a bubble of safety above us all. We have the smartest individuals in the world in our government, caring for us, watching out for us. They've got our back. The government has our back. The best people from every state represent us in Washington. The president is a respectful, honest individual that knows how to lead and to commandeer for the benefit of us all, for the peace and glory of us all, to protect our ways of life, our freedoms, so that we can enjoy this gift of life on this particular planet, and more specifically, in this particular country, this union of greatness, the strength of the military, the power of our intelligence. I watched the James Bond movies. There was stuff that they were developing that I didn't even have to know about that could protect us forever. That was the way I went through my childhood. And there were some international problems. There was the Cuban Missile Crisis. There were overseas skirmishes and horrible things going on. And in this country alone, there were civil rights marches and horrible conflicts amongst our own. But yet there was this blanket over everything where it's all going to be all right. We have the power to protest. We have the ability to protest. We can say how we feel and what we want, and we can be listened to on both sides. We have smart people in government who assess the situation and sit down with others and figure out the best way. We have Republicans and Democrats and independents who all work together because they all have the same goal. Even though they may have different ways of getting there, they all have the same goal, and they're really friends, and they work together. That's what I thought when I was a young teenager. and I held that opinion for quite some time in my life. And now, at whatever age you may be, and at whatever age I may be, now I feel differently. Now I feel like that government is a bunch of selfish bozos, is a cornucopia of disorderly personalities that have no experience, no knowledge, no intelligence, that their main goal is themselves and not us. And that some of the goals of some of the people in Washington are actually to divide us on purpose, to create chaos, so that they can pick up the pieces once chaos begins and manipulate them according to their own plan and their own means. I truly believe that now. My impressions of government have totally changed. They are inept, inefficient. And those that are efficient and intelligent can go nowhere with it because they have nobody to work with. And at the top of the pile of these people is a totally inefficient asshole who represents the worst personality traits in all of us: bullying, threatening, shaming. Ay, God. All right, we're going to take a little bit of a break. When we come back, I will try to compose myself. And hey, do you have any chores around the house that you need taken care of? We got the guy for you.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked. I do the work naked. You pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
Interesting. Here's a news item, which is fresh from today. I'm trying to get in touch with this person. Dennis Hoff has been on this show three or four times. Dennis Hoff, if you recall, is the owner of a brothel, actually a chain of brothels in Nevada. In certain cities in Nevada with low population, you can have a brothel. And it's called the Bunny Ranch. There are a series of them with different names scattered throughout Nevada in small towns. They are houses of prostitution. It's legal in Nevada in certain locations. Dennis Hoff is the owner of these brothels. We've spoken to him on this program many times. He's a fascinating character. He runs his brothels, he says, in a very respectful, responsible manner. If you want to pay for sex, he's got girls that'll do that on his premises. The girls are tested medically for their safety and for your safety. It's run in a very strict, stringent way without being obvious. You go up there for fun. If you're single and you want to pay for sex, what the hell? If you're married and you want to pay for sex, that's a moral question on your part. But Dennis Hoff provides that possibility if you so desire. He is a man that provides a service for those that are looking for a certain specific type of service. Interestingly enough, when we've interviewed Dennis many times before, probably the most fascinating thing to me is that many of his clients arrive at a secret door behind these brothels in limousines undercover. They are politicians, celebrities, and people that many of us probably know. And they take advantage of these services. I mean, I don't see the problem with it, personally. I don't. I wouldn't partake in it. As a matter of fact, I was offered. Dennis actually said, Ron, you know, if you ever want to come up and visit, open door for you, my friend. Open door. Invitations out to you. We'll take care of you. Well, I know what that we'll take care of you thing was all about. I have not gone. But he was very, very polite in inviting me to one of his brothels. So anyway, so here's the news. The Dennis Hoff, and I'm trying to get in touch with him. Maybe we'll get him in a couple of days here. He actually offered O.J. Simpson a job. As you know, O.J. Simpson will be walking free on October 1st. He served his time, apparently. He's been paroled. O.J. Simpson has to do under the parole auspices is he has to remain good, have a place to live, and if he had a job, that would be that much better, and he can't get in trouble. Dennis Hoff offered him all of that stuff. Oddly enough, I don't know how you're not in trouble if you're working at a brothel, and I don't believe O.J. Simpson would be able to take him up on his offer. But Dennis Hoff offered O.J. Simpson a job at his brothels as a greeter. I don't know either. I don't know how to answer that either. But O.J. Simpson's job would be to stand at the door, and a customer would come in looking for sex from one of the girls, and O.J. would greet them and say, "Can I get you something? How can I help you?" That would be his job, as like a Walmart greeter in a brothel. I don't think that would be a great idea under the circumstances for O.J. Simpson to do as far as a public job is concerned. I think Dennis Hoff is doing this in order to get some free publicity by making the offer, and it's probably going to work. It's going to work with me. I mean, I'm trying to get in contact with him so we can interview him about this. So it worked. But I find that fascinating. I think that's kind of a fun thing. I don't know what to tell you. Okay, let's shift our attention to something else. I've been in an Uber cab just once in my life, and I can't say I enjoyed the experience. I can't say I didn't. I felt a little odd being in somebody's car that didn't have a sign on it or a little light up sign on top of the roof. I feel more comfortable in a taxi cab that's registered and has medallions all over it and stuff like that. Even though it may be a bit more expensive, but the Uber that I was in, I think they overcharged me. And I'll tell you why. I was in Brooklyn, New York, and I was in a hotel, and I was going to the Brooklyn Museum from the hotel, which was about 10 minutes away. I took an Uber to the Brooklyn Museum. It cost me, I believe it was $20. On the way back, there was a cab sitting out front. I got in the cab. They drove me back to the hotel, same distance away. And that was $12. So I overspent $8 somehow on the Uber thing. So I'm not that impressed with the Uber concept. There's something in the Boston area called Lyft, which is similar to Uber, and it's being introduced to various parts of the country, especially in major cities. So I thought it'd be interesting today. Of course, this is what I thought. I thought it'd be interesting today to talk to the general manager of the Lyft organization. Let's speak to him right now. Hey, Tyler, how you doing?
Hi, Ron. Good.
Good. This is Tyler George, general manager of Lyft, and welcome to the Boston area here. Where are you located?
I am in Kendall Square, Cambridge.
Oh, there you are. I can see you. Wave to me. There you are.
Yeah,
there
I'm in a tight little phone booth here, so probably not me you're looking at.
In a phone booth. Okay. Hey, what is Lyft? This has to do with transportation. Some people aren't familiar with Lyft. Tell me what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So Lyft is what's called a ride-sharing
app,
and we're the fastest-growing on-demand transportation service in the U.S. What that means for anyone that hasn't seen this is you have a smartphone, you download our app, and you just open it up, and if you need to get anywhere in a car, you can see all of the available cars that are around you, and you just hit request. It'll tell you how long it's going to be for a car to get to you. You just hop in the car, you get driven by a friendly local driver to the destination that you put in, and get dropped off. There's no cash, so all the billing takes place through our app. You can track the location of the driver before they get to you and during the trip.
Uh-huh.
So there's no question of, you know, did my driver take me in an odd route or something?
Yeah.
And you can see the name of the person picking you up, the type of car picking you up. Uh-huh. So it's really kind of changing the transportation game.
Uh-huh.
I know a lot of people have heard about this,
but
it's hard to understand just how convenient, easy, and cheap it is until you really use it.
Okay, now how does this differ from some of the other car services that have come into the game?
Sure. So we're the fastest growing one here in Boston, and we actually started from a very different place from our top competitor.
Mm-hmm.
They started sort of as, you know, a black car service.
Mm-hmm.
With professional drivers,
yes.
And we started with connecting local drivers, so just, you know, people that had a car and had some extra time, to local passengers, and that's changed the sort of nature of our businesses. The other company has since sort of gotten into that business that we've pioneered.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're all about connecting people, and our sort of strong spot is really, you know, drivers that are in the neighborhood and, you know, not necessarily full-time, but just trying to fill in some hours here and there, make some extra income. And we actually have a better structure in terms of payment for drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Most drivers would agree that they prefer driving for Lyft than any other platform.
Uh-huh.
And that actually allows us to be choosier with drivers. We, unlike the competition, have somebody meet with every new driver face-to-face, do an inspection and do some training. And that allows us to be choosier about the drivers we bring in. So we actually screen out a pretty high percentage, about 10% of the drivers that come in, which we don't think are right for the brand, or maybe their car smells or something. Whereas with the competition, they don't do any face-to-face meetings. So our driver quality for the passenger tends to be better.
Good. So the goal for Lyft and for your company would be to not have so many cars on the road. If you live in the city of Boston, for example, there may be no reason to even own a car.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's gotten so much easier through Lyft and through some other types of transportation services out there to not own a car. And it's such a pain to own a car. I mean, I live in Somerville and live in Boston and Cambridge.
Forget.
Never been easy,
right?
Particularly when you have to worry about snow and you know, parking tickets
and
moving the car on a trash day, all that stuff. I mean, it's just a total pain. So people are finding now, you know, particularly people who are moving to the city and kind of didn't already have a car, that it's such a pain to have a car. It's so expensive to insure that you're better off just, you know, using the various on-demand transportation options available to you. So if you need a vehicle ride within, you know, 30 minutes of the city or within the city, you use Lyft. You know, certainly we have a public transportation system here that fills a lot of the gap that you can use. It's very affordable.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have a product called Lyft Line that is a little bit more of a carpooling app. So it actually even lowers the price more from our classic offering. By grouping people together who are going from the same sort of area to another area. So like if multiple people are starting in Brookline at the same time and ending downtown, it's a service that connects those people and it makes it very, very cheap to take that ride, just sharing the car with some other people. And then, you know, if you're going further out of the city, there's services like Zipcar that starts here in Boston. It's There's always rental, and there really is. It's very easy to get by without owning your own car. Yeah. It's a lot cheaper. It's a lot more convenient.
Yeah, I guess it depends where you're going, but what's the average wait time for something? Let's say I lived in Cambridge and I wanted to get into Boston or something.
The average wait time is about 3 minutes.
That's all?
So it certainly varies depending on the time.
That's
it? Quick. And you can just,
It takes longer to wait for a train on a platform.
Yes, it certainly does.
In this city.
These are very convenient. It's a very convenient service.
Wow.
And you can see as soon as you open the app where all the cars are around you and closest one is.
Oh, so you can follow it and see how far away it is.
Exactly.
I think travelers will be most concerned about safety, but it sounds like that you weed out the drivers pretty well.
Yeah, we also have extensive background checks. Mm-hmm. So to become a driver on our platform, before you even get to that face-to-face meeting, you've got to pass extensive federal, county, and sex offender registry criminal checks.
Oh, wow.
Certainly if you've got any type of sort of background with the criminal justice system, you're not going to be able to be a driver for us. We also check your DMV record, so we want to make sure that you don't have any major violations. Even if you have, too many speeding tickets or things like that, you're not able to become a driver on our platform.
Very good.
So you really have to be a very high standard to drive for us.
Yeah, the last thing you want are complaints, I would assume.
Exactly. And the other thing that's sort of most effective is there's a two-way rating system for every ride.
Yeah.
So every time a passenger gets in that car, at the end of the ride, that passenger and that driver are rating each other on a scale from 1 to 5. And neither the driver or the passenger kind of sees who rated them what.
Uh-huh.
But what it means is that if you're as a driver not providing a really good experience, you're not going to be driving for very long because you're getting rated after every single trip.
Very good.
And our average ratings are, it's out of a five-star scale, and the average is in the very high fours. Wow. So if you get much below that, you can't drive anymore.
Yeah. And this doesn't require licensing like cab drivers because you're calling them for a lift. It's different than cruising the streets looking for customers.
Exactly. It's not street hailing, which is what most of the regulations are concerned with.
Right.
It's all done through the app. And there is legislation being sort of worked on at the state level, which, we're certainly excited to see to sort of formalize some of this. But, we're a different service and requires a different set of regulations.
Mm-hmm. What if someone wanted to be a driver and that part of it sound attractive to them?
Yeah, so we're constantly looking for new drivers. To join as a driver, you just go to our website, Lyft.com, just put in your information as a driver. You got to have a car that's 2006 or newer, and obviously have to pass all of those driving record and federal and county criminal checks that I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very easy. I mean, you can sign up today and be driving next week as long as you kind of pass your test and pass your background checks. And it's great. I mean, it's I drive too. You can, if you want to drive full time, we've got people that drive 50 hours a week. If you want to drive, just to kind of take some time in between other commitments, you can drive two rides a week, and that's fine with us.
Now let's
say we've got people who that are both sets of those extremes and everything in between.
Now let's say I lived on the South Shore and I was in the Taunton area and I wanted to go to stay in that South Shore area. Does the service extend that far?
It does. Yep. That's okay. We get down to the South Shore. We're not on the Cape outside of the summer.
Yeah.
But even all the way out to Provincetown, during the summer.
Very cool.
And down to Rhode Island, we've got a Providence service area that covers most of Rhode Island, so South Shore is covered.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I guess the easiest thing to do is go to Lyft, that's LYFT, and search for the app on any one of your devices, and that'll tell you the whole story right there.
Exactly. You can learn everything you need to do to get both, if you want to be a driver or you want to be a passenger, right on the app and on the website.
Cool. Tyler George, fascinating stuff. Could be changing the way that we commute or get to places. Interesting. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye. I'm always fascinated by names that could be, first name, last name could be interchangeable. His name is Tyler George, or it could be George Tyler. Both would be acceptable. I like that. That way, if you ever become like incredibly dyslexic, it kind of doesn't matter. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Join me tomorrow, will you? Until then, I wish you peace.